Last month, Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer issued what's considered to be one of the court's strongest opinions criticizing the use of solitary confinement. He acknowledged the growing body of scientific evidence that prolonged isolation causes severe anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, and hallucinations. And like Justice Anthony Kennedy did 2 years earlier, Breyer questioned whether it violates constitutional protections against cruel and unusual punishment. Around the country and the world, there is a growing movement calling for an end to solitary, also known as administrative segregation, restrictive housing, or lockdown. And as Susan Sharon reports, here in Maine, the Department of Corrections is leading the effort to curtail its use.
To get to the special management unit at the Maine State Prison, you have to walk down a long corridor and pass through half a dozen heavy locked doors. Here, confinement means virtual isolation for 22 to 23 hours a day. Phone calls and non-contact visits are limited. Prisoners are handcuffed and shackled whenever they come out of their cells.
The most dangerous, most difficult inmates are here, and that's based upon not necessarily what they did on the outside, but what occurred on the inside.
Warden Randy Liberty says those offenses range from assaults on staff or other inmates to stabbings and even homicide. Prior to 2015, there were typically 45 to 50 prisoners housed in the SMU. On a recent visit, there were just 7. It's part of an ongoing effort to reform the use of solitary confinement at the prison, and Liberty says Maine leads the nation in the fewest number of inmates in restrictive housing.
It was obvious that no good comes of locking people away in a cell for 22 hours a day. And we have to ask ourselves, if the citizens of the state of Maine are paying $44,000 a year to house someone here at the Maine State Prison, when the person is released, they should be treated and programmed for the reasons why they arrived.
Until recently, one of those prisoners was 36-year-old Jason Potter of Augusta. Prison administrators say he was sent to the SMU after he orchestrated a stabbing. Potter says he spent 13 months in segregation there.
When I first went down there, it was a lot different than it is now. In the past, 6 months or so, they went from basically like a warehousing. They put you in there. Now they switched over to this whole new program and level system where you can actually earn your transition back.
Potter says this is a big change in the traditional disciplinary culture of the prison. Earning the transition back to general population is a matter of proving yourself. Complete certain classes and programs, reach the next level. And with each level come more privileges.
Once you get to level 3, you actually start getting more freedom. You still get more freedom in level 2 because you're allowed more electronics, stuff like that. But once you're in level 3, then you come out without chains. That's like the big test.
Hey, did you get the challenge and stuff figured out? Everything's running okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I was wondering...
Dr. Ryan Thornell is an associate commissioner in the Department of Corrections who's been tasked with continuing reforms to the use of solitary confinement, begun in Maine more than a decade ago. During a regular visit to the SMU, he stops by the cell of a prisoner who wants to know about a new policy for good behavior.
Well, I don't know what they give out for documentation, but you'll find out. So I'll have him working on it.
Thornell says the goal of reform isn't only about reducing the number of inmates who are locked away. He says it's also about accountability on the part of the DOC.
Whether it's timeliness of reviews, case plan information, programming that we make available to them, how their interactions with staff are going to be, we hold ourselves accountable to make sure that those things are actually delivered upon.
We're heading to the closed unit. I have a total capacity of 490. Right now, my unit counts about 444, I think, I read today.
That accountability falls squarely on the shoulders of this man, Anthony Cartledge. He's the newly promoted director of operations and programming at the prison.
You give me all my gray hair while I work.
Some of the inmates who come out of solitary confinement transition to a step-down facility called the Structured Living Unit, where they are allowed to come out of their cells for several hours a day, eat meals, and take classes in small groups. It's a way to socialize them gradually. Others are released to the closed custody unit.
Closed custody guys are guys that are very violent, very assaultive. That's the true close maximum security prisoner. It's like Potter. He's in the close unit. He will have an opportunity, if his behavior allows, to maybe work through the medium unit, which has less restrictions.
Cartlidge says initially some of the correction staff were wary about Jason Potter going back into general population.
When Potter come out, I talked to the staff. And I said, listen, this is what he's coming out, and we want to make sure that you're aware he's coming out. That we want him to reintegrate back into population. We have to take that risk. And I've had hardly any pushback from staff, so they're beginning to shift, I think, to the risk reduction model.
What they've seen, says Cartlidge, is that disciplinary problems have been reduced under the new model. Data show that since 2015, assaults are down, and the number of prisoners being sent back to restrictive housing has dropped as well. Prisoner advocates applaud the reforms and the results, but Joe Jackson, a former inmate and spokesperson for the Maine Prisoner Advocacy Coalition, says there remains a need for more transparency in the prison grievance process, a way for prisoners to challenge solitary confinement in the first place, or a decision not to let them out.
The way the process is working, and even though with reforms made to it, there's a lot of rubber stamping of no, this grievance isn't going anywhere, and that we're listening to whatever the staff is telling us.
Jackson points to a 70% recidivism rate for inmates as evidence of the rehabilitation challenges still facing the Maine State Prison. Zach Hyden of the American Civil Liberties Union of Maine agrees that more reforms are needed.
But it's important to keep sight of how far we've come and also how much of an example Maine State Prison is for the rest of the country. The Maine Department of Corrections has shown that you can reduce the use of solitary confinement and keep the prison safe.
Associate DOC Commissioner Ryan Thornell says it's unlikely the need for a special management unit will ever be eliminated. But he says the goal will be to move away from the long-term isolation of inmates. And by long-term, he says he means prisoners spending 6 months or more in restrictive housing. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.